Good morning. It's time now for the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Put an emphasis on that gentleman.
Gentlemen, yes, absolutely. That's what we strive to be. Good morning to everyone who's listening this morning. This is The Life You've Always Wanted. It's brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute every Monday morning at 10 o'clock right here on KWTO. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station, our number is 862-9977. Or if you're out of the area, it's 1-800-375-0056 or star 56 on your cell.
As WK was saying, this is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. If you'd like to check us out or find out more about us, go to springfieldmfi.com. On the website there, you can find all kinds of things out about us, what we do, who we are. Also, later on today, this show will be archived there, along with every show we've done. And you're more than welcome to listen to those at your leisure, send them off to a friend, email the links. We have that happen quite a lot. Springfield Marriage and Family Institute was established to offer Christian marriage and family counseling to Springfield and all of Southwest Missouri. That's now Arkansas, Oklahoma, and all the way to Minnesota. So, quite a radius there, WK.
Quite a radius.
We also provide seminars and workshops on marriage and family issues. This could be anything from a small seminar workshop like Coffee with WK, which we've got coming up this Thursday again. It's a new series that we've started. A little more intimate, a little more relaxed. Go over to Panera Bread on East Sunshine this Thursday at 7 o'clock. And this Thursday, we're going to be talking about empowering children.
Yes, empowered kids equal terrific kids.
There you go. So if you'd like to find out more about that, give us a call at the office at 882-6767. That's 882-6767, or go to springfieldmfi.com. And on the homepage, there is a little poster for Coffee with WK. You can click that and get registered there. We'd like to have an idea of how many people are going to be there that we kind of plan ahead. The last couple events have just been absolutely wonderful. People have come away just going, wow, that's stuff I've never heard, I've never thought about. Just absolutely incredible. And so it's a good time. It's a time to listen to WK, get a chance to meet him.
Yeah, let me get a chance to meet you. I'd love to meet you.
At WK, one of the things when we started the radio program, he goes, you know, it's so different on the air because when you're speaking with people, then you have the interaction. You get to see their faces and smile. And on the radio, you don't have that. You have a microphone looking back at you. And so WK is one of the easiest people in the world to talk to. So check it out, springfieldmfi.com. Coffee with WK. We'd love to meet you there. Also, one thing about the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, we are a training facility. We do train the next generation of counselors and therapists as they're coming up through, whether it's an internship out of college program, those that are completing their master's degree, or those that are provisionally licensed. So if you have a need, if you're looking for supervision or a place to be able to learn how this business works, how to get in and really be able to help people. Because one thing about a lot of things that happen in schools, they don't teach you how to be able to do this beyond the overall basic theories. And that's where the practicum comes in. That's where practical experience comes in. And that's part of what we do at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute.
Yeah, that's where the licensure, especially, you have to have 3,000 counseling hours and 200 supervised hours to receive your license, whether you're LPC, a licensed professional counselor, or a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Yeah, an LMFT.
Yes.
And a lot of times we talk about these, and you'll see these. When you go to the phone book, you know, you're thinking, man, our marriage really could use some counseling. And you see WK Boyce, and then you see MMFT, LPC, CDAPA, and you go, what in the world are all the initials?
And WK is my name. The LPC is licensed professional counselor. The CDAPA means that I'm a certified diplomate of the American Psychotherapy Association. And the MMFT is I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. And so I have a lot of initials, and Ken's always teasing me that I just need more initials after my name. And so I don't put every initial behind there, but if it's just part of credentialing, part of the validity of the counseling that I do. And it's very essential. If you're looking for someone to work with individual issues, then you can work with a counselor that's trained in individual issues. But if you're wanting to work with marital problems, or relationship issues, or family issues, then you need to work with somebody that's trained in marriage issues or family issues, and not everyone is. Not everyone who calls themselves a counselor is trained in relationship issues, but we are.
And that's part of the difference is a lot of times WK and I have spoken about how do you tell someone, how do we explain the difference between what Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is compared to XYZ psychologist or some other counseling mm-hmm. center. And the easiest way to describe it is if I'm an engine mechanic, if I've got a car and I'm driving the car and the car breaks down, I take it to the shop and the guy is a fantastic engine mechanic. He goes, Ken, there's nothing wrong with the motor. Yeah, but it's still not working. Well, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with the motor. It's a transmission. Yeah. You need someone that specializes in the transmission. And a good engine mechanic may not know anything about a transmission other than the basic concepts. There are specialties. There's a knowledge there that needs to be there. And when you're looking at marriage and family issues and you're looking at family systems and how things are affected, we talk about it so much on this show that everything we do affects the next four generations. That means things that are happening in my family started in my great-grandparents' generation, if not beyond.
If not beyond, yeah.
And so understanding and knowing how these systems will operate and how different generations affect one another, these are important distinctions in what kind of counsel you seek. And so keep that in mind. So when you go to the phone book and you're looking at all these initials and everything else, go look for Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Look for WK Boyce. WK is probably the easiest initials to look for. And give us a call there at the office, 882-6767. If you're outside the area, that is area code 417-882-6767. Quote for the day. This is an important one. You might want to write this down. I know it's very applicable. Give a person a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach that person to use the internet and he won't bother you for weeks.
Oh, that is so true. In fact, you may not see them for months.
Oh.
Till they come up for air. You know, there's a lot of things that affect our families, the way we parent, the way we try to get along with our parents and with our kids and grandparents. One of the things that absolutely affects parents and children the most is teaching our children about God and about morality and the importance of that. And there's a lot of children being brought up in families today where the family would be considered a good family, but they have no fundamental or foundational understanding of where their values come from. You know, it's kind of, well, that's how I was raised. That's how my parents raised me, or that's how my grandparents raised my parents. But why did they teach them what they taught them? Why did they teach them about this is the way you live your life? You see, I think it's important for every generation of parents, for new parents coming up and they're having these kids, for you to be able to identify the foundation for your life, the foundation authority for your life. And we talked about this last week, began a discussion about this, that we as parents need to know what is the source authority for our life. Is it our parents? Is it culture? Is it scripture? What is the source authority that says these are the principles upon which you're to build your life?
If you missed our show last week, you can still hear it. As I was mentioning earlier, everything is archived. So go to Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute, springfieldmfi.com. And on the homepage, there's a radio microphone. You can click on that, and there's a radio archive link on the right-hand side of the page. Click on the radio archive. Every show we have is there. And the last three shows have dealt really into some of these basic fundamentals of how we operate our lives, what we operate our lives from, what is the foundation that we're living on top of. Kind of get back to the old biblical story, you know, the wise man builds his house on the rock, foolish man builds a house on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we asked last week is, are you one of two things? You have to answer this, and you will answer this in life. You're either a created being of God, which I'd say most people in Springfield around this area believe that. How deeply? Well, that's what you need to decide. But you're either a created being of God, or you're an atomic anomaly, just a mutant chimp. And what you believe at that level will determine what you teach and what you believe and how you live your life in all other aspects of your life. And that's part of what we discussed last week. So feel free to go back to the website, springfieldmfi.com, click on the radio archives, and the radio program is right there at the top.
Yeah, let me ask a question. Are you a Christian, first of all? And if you are you a Christian modernist or a Christian postmodernist? Yeah. You say, what in the world is that about? There is a paradigm, there's a mindset, a worldview that is spreading increasingly throughout our culture and around the world that says that we have left the need for absolute authority, and we will see authority only in terms of how I and a few people that I associate with believe authority to be what authority says.
Let me simplify this.
Go right ahead.
Either God's in charge or I'm in charge.
Oh, well put.
Thank you.
Well put. Yeah. Let me compare these two ideologies and see where you come down on. See, a Christian modernist believes in the absolute reality of facts, observation, and logic. Whereas a Christian postmodernist believes that facts and truth are tainted by the observer. A Christian modernist trusts absolute truth. Whereas a Christian postmodernist rejects absolute truth and points out that assumptions that truths are based on. A Christian modernist has a relationship with reality based on attempting to discern the absolutes. And a Christian postmodernist has a relationship with the group whose view of reality benefits him or her the most. A Christian modernist seeks objective knowledge that is religious, mathematical, historical record that supports their absolute doctrine. A Christian postmodernist seeks objective knowledge and reworks doctrines to include or ignore that kind of knowledge. A Christian modernist wants society to follow biblical or cultural standards which are considered inherently correct. And a postmodernist, Christian postmodernist, wants to set their own standards and values and believes that society should grant as much right to this as possible. A Christian modernist believes that sexual guidelines and boundaries are fixed by absolute principles in Scripture. A Christian postmodernist believes that humans are free to choose their own sexuality and sexual identity. A Christian modernist judges right and wrong by absolute standards. A Christian postmodernist judges right and wrong upon agreed standards but recognizes that those standards may change. Okay? Now, for those of you who are still awake, I want you to hear this, that we have got to come down in our life and determine what we're going to put the weight of our life on. What is foundational? And that's when Ken quoted a teaching of Jesus Christ when he says, the wise man builds his house upon the rock, and a foolish man builds his house upon the sand. That's the same thing Jesus was teaching. This is not really new. This is the age-old comparison and distinction between what is real and what is wanted to be real. You know, as Ken said, is God right or am I right? Is God the authority or am I the authority? Those are types of questions that we are challenged with every day of our life. And because what we decide about that determines how we see ourselves and how we see our children and how we want what is best for our kids and what we teach them that is right or wrong. Now, if for some reason you're a parent and you say, well, my children will never ask me anything about that, you need to guess again. Because your children are being inundated by people who are accepting more of a postmodernist position about truth, about reality, about history, about the validity of things that we would consider of primary importance, like constitutions and laws. And these children will be challenging the authority later in their life.
And as we've discussed, challenging the authority in general, that happens with every generation.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference here, though, in pushing the authority to find out its boundaries, its limits, to find out what's real, and then to internalize those, or trying to become the authority and rewrite what the authority is. And there's a difference in being able to say, oh, I've pushed this boundary, the stove is hot, the stove is hot, okay, well, I touched the stove's hot. Ow. Okay, well, that just internalized it. I realized that mom and dad knew what they were saying when they said, don't touch the stove.
Yeah.
Versus, well, that was kind of warm, but, you know, let's redefine what hot is here. One of the two ways we're going to determine how we live our life.
Yeah, another way of looking at that is the stove is hot, the stove is hot, the stove is hot. I wonder if the stove's hot. I tell you what, you touch the stove and I'll tell you if it's hot.
No thanks.
You see, that's really a core difference. That if I can tell you what to do, I can tell you what to believe, I can tell you what's really hot or not, what's cold or not, what's truth or not, because I believe it to be so or not, regardless of what any objective standard exists out here, then I've become a very powerful person in your life. And that happens time and time and time and time and time again. It's kind of the old saying, and I know that we've all heard this, where the old saying where parents say, they're teaching their children, do as I say, not as I do. And we say, well, that's kind of being hypocritical. Well, yeah, that's being hypocritical. But it's more about power and control than it is about love and guidance and nurturing and empowering our children. We need to have parents who live by the principles that we're teaching our kids. We need to have parents who know objective truth, who put their full weight of their life and the correctness of their life upon solid principles that have withstood the test of time and cultures and societies throughout history. We need parents who are teaching the children principles that will uphold throughout their lifetime.
To uphold them.
Okay. But this is what we need. We need parents who not only can identify those principles, but they're living by those principles themselves and are teaching those principles, modeling that for their kids. And they're teaching that in the context of morality through religious teachings. And you're not only sending your kids to Bible class, but you're going there yourself. Not only taking your kids to church, but you're going there yourself. Not only teaching your children about faith, but you're living it out through the week yourself. This is what I'm stressing to parents. To have a life that we've always wanted, we've got to have consistency and congruency. We've got to have parents who are modeling consistently the principles that they're teaching their kids. We must have this. Children are crying out for it. Children are crying out for it. We have children who are so confused and lost because they're hearing their parents say, you do one thing, but they're watching their parents do the entire opposite of that. And I tell you something, parents, if we're teaching our children that way, our kids will follow what we are doing rather than what we're saying. Our life is a greater force in their life than our words are.
So as we answer this question, what do we live our life from? What are we based on? Why are we asking this? Well, this again, this is one of those core issues. Now I'm going to bring up a couple examples here and think about how this question, the answer to this question, relates to the example. Columbine. University of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City. How we live our life, what the authority is in our life, and who we're accountable to is a foundation for how we live. And if we reduce ourselves to nothing more than, well, you're a bunch of mutant chimps. You just evolved from lower species and, well, you know, it's survival of the fittest. If that's the case, then I become the authority and there's nothing anyone else can do. We've talked about so many times how sons need to have that mature male role in their life to guide them into manhood. No one else can do that other than a man to guide a son into manhood. Why? Because they'll go absolutely crazy without someone there to guide them and to say, no, that's not the right way. We talked about a case down in Africa, game reserve. And, you know, this is getting back to the whole scientific experiments and ecology and trying to reestablish an elephant herd down in Africa. And so they decided, well, let's go get some young bull elephants. We'll take them from this reserve up north and put them down in this reserve down south. And real, real young. And most of you know elephants, in a lot of ways, are very much like humans. In fact, very smart animals, have long lives, that type of thing. They pulled these, you know, 1 and 2 year old bulls out and sent them down to this new preserve, and they went berserk. They were tearing up trees, rooting up the reservation itself, getting outside the boundaries, terrorizing the villages and stuff around this game preserve. To the point the game warden was going to shoot the animals. Said, yeah, this isn't working. They're, we can't have this. And one of the other ones said, no, no, no. What you need to do is go up there and bring down a couple of the older bulls.
That's right.
And they brought the older bulls down, and those youngsters settled down.
Because the big bulls were in charge.
But they were able to guide. And there's an order of things. We're either going to teach right or wrong, or we're just going to let it go wild and it becomes survival of the fittest. Whatever I do is my choice.
Yeah.
And that was demonstrated in the elephants, but demonstrate every day in what we see on the news. And then be surprised that, wow, this really happened. What happened at Columbine? What happened to this kid in West Virginia? How can we be surprised when we say there is no right or wrong? It's merely your opinion. Oh, but we've got laws over here we've written down for you. Well, if you wrote them, tough. I don't care. How do they apply to me? It's not my rules. This is coming down to what's the authority.
Yeah, and there's nothing any more dangerous, especially than a male who believes that he is not accountable to anybody. That is being proven out time and time and time again. That's just the way as the creation of God in its fallen nature exists. We've got to have authority. We've got to have recognized, established authority. And we've got to have that authority and that structure of that authority where everyone is accountable to it. Everyone is. And we can't be left to our own devices, to our own whims, to establishing our own authority. Otherwise, we have organized chaos, and sometimes not even organized chaos.
No, we have anarchy.
We have anarchy. You know, there's a question that's written in to a doctor on a website, on a blog. It came from Nebraska. It says, this person says, although America remains the most religious Western society, my observation is that fewer and fewer people view the church as an important part of a child's moral education. My parents raised me as a Methodist, and I know it was very important to my education in matters of morality. I have many friends who are raising children and are of different faiths or choose not to belong to any religious organization, whether Christian, Jewish, or other. Where do people derive moral values for their children, if not in a religious context of some sort? Is it not much harder to raise children to be morally aware without the support of a religious community? And this doctor responded, I thought his answer was interesting, if not incomplete. This doctor says, I agree that religion can be a powerful force in the moral and spiritual life of children. But there are certainly many parents who manage successfully to bring up their children to be morally decent and spiritually reflective without recourse to a specific religious tradition. Spiritual inwardness can be developed by people who don't go to church or synagogue, even as some people who do not go to church and synagogue may, in important ways, overlook the moral and spiritual significance and demands of the religious traditions they have embraced. And he goes on to say that I describe my own discovery of a powerful moral tradition in many agnostic and atheistic homes. Now compare that to what President George Washington said in his farewell address. He said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with a pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let us simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments of investigation and courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle.
As we go into our break, give that a thought. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m. where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And once again, here are your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce, in the second half of the show.
And we're back.
You know, as we're winding out the show, WK was reading a quote from President George Washington talking about the basics of what even the very country was founded on, and saying that whatever may be concluded to the influence of refined education of minds of a pure structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in the exclusion of a religious principle. In other words, take God out and the United States doesn't continue.
That's what he's saying. the foundation cease to exist.
Because our very laws are based upon the freedoms endowed to us by our Creator and the accountability to our Creator. In a nutshell. WK, we had a client come in, it's been a couple years back now, that you had a lady that had come in that her husband was using her for a punching bag or had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lady came in and her eyes were swollen and black and purple and beginning yellow. And she came in talking about her husband had hit her, how he was beating her. And didn't want to divorce him, but just wanted him to stop and begin to get some help. And asked what she could do. One of the things that I advised her to do, what I recommended, was for her to go home and tell her husband, if you ever lay a hand on me again, I will call the police. You will go to jail. I will press charges. And you'll spend some time in jail. If you can't control yourself, there are people who have authority to do that for you. And so she did. She went home. And I didn't see her again for months. She came back later. And I said, what happened? She said, I did exactly what you said. And he hasn't laid a hand on me since. Now, there are men who will take that advice and go with that. There are other men who will see that as a challenge and not go with that. Okay? But everybody is accountable to somebody with more authority than what we have, who have legitimate authority to help control us if we cannot control ourselves. That's where we need to understand this, that we all have authority for our life, but we all are accountable to a higher authority. We have Bob here in Battlefield. Bob, welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for holding on through the break there.
That's a fantastic program. Are you all based with a denomination or anything? I got a couple, three questions. I'll make it quick.
We're not with any denomination. We're biblically based.
Good.
But okay. We are an independent facility here. We do work with every denomination in Springfield.
Fantastic. Allegedly, the schools are full of OxyContin and Demerol. There are Xanax, several other things like that that the kids are getting at the house and other things.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have the absolutes and the morals and complex, you know, in the schools, then I guess anything goes, huh? Is that pretty much the way it is?
That's pretty much it, yes.
I think I may have mentioned it before, and I want to urge you men and all concerned parents and grandparents and other people to get to these school board meetings and share exactly what you're sharing right now, because if enough people do that, the person that was the head of the ACLU told me personally, her name's Nadine Strossen, nationwide, that if you have any quotes of great Americans, they are our history. We not only have a right, we have an obligation to share those, like James Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Cursed be all that learning that's contrary to the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. And also that our whole civilization is built on the Ten Commandments of Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad George Washington told us what you shared there, because that leaves no doubt of what he stood for and what he stood upon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people will get out and state what they want, this can be turned around. But I guarantee you it can't be done by one man or two or three.
Well, it's not going to be done from a federal level.
No.
This is not something that we can merely write into law or try to go for a top-down approach.
But we can start it here in our local county.
That's exactly where it needs to start.
It is. It's in our local county. It's even closer to home than that. And Bob, thanks a lot for your call.
God bless.
This is something that we deal, first of all, with ourselves, looking inward to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How are we living our life? And then how do we teach our kids, what are we teaching them? How do we influence them? Our neighbors, our community, churches. Then it gets to city, state, and federal. And it will be a bottoms-up approach. And that's what we're discussing here, is the very foundation of what we believe and how we teach the next generation. And that's part of what we're discussing here. It is a bottoms-up approach.
Yes. And parents, never be misled. We cannot not teach our kids, just like we cannot not communicate that old communication axiom. We cannot not communicate. We cannot not teach our kids. Whatever we're doing, however we're doing it, whatever is important in our life, what our values, our priorities are as parents, our children are picking those up. Our children are seeing what is truly valuable to us, and they'll see whether We believe in God by the way we live our life. Although we say we have a nod toward God by the way we live our life. Or if we're excluding God by the way we live our life. And our kids are very perceptive. They understand. They understand full well what our lives are about, and they will emulate us. They will live their life or strive to live their life the way that we do. And we need empowered kids. This is what the seminar is about Thursday night over at Panera, is that empowered kids equal terrific kids. But empowered children are children who live with parents or have a parental structure and guidance with boundaries. Their parents are settled as far as what is real authority in life, and they have appropriate boundaries for themselves, and they're teaching these boundaries from that authority with their children. And they're helping their children to structure life and to internalize those boundaries. Now, that's what we're talking about. And it's important to know how we can do that, because a lot of parents don't know how to do that effectively, so that their children come up having a great set of boundaries, a great set of values to live with and to live by that will govern their life, all their life. And so when their children grow up and leave home, their parents are proud, positive, and confident that their lives can be a great life.
Now, the thing about it is, as parents, we know our kids are going to get out between about the age of 15 to 25, and they're going to push every boundary we ever set up. We did. But if they have the basis, if they have what's real, if they've been taught what's right and wrong, they'll push the boundaries. They'll find out not the fact that mom and dad said this was right or wrong, but this is the reason why this is right or wrong. And it becomes internal for them. But they have that core structure there. So what we're teaching them is important. And what they're seeing is important. Now, if you're going, Ken, this is great, but our marriage is just... We try to be good parents, but you know, we're struggling. What do we do? That's where the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute comes in. A lot of things we talk about on the radio, we discuss a lot of these concepts and abstract ideas and broad picture things, because they make a difference in how we live our lives on a daily basis. But in talking with the lady that had, her husband had used her for a punching bag, these are very real results that can be achieved when people have the right counsel, the right direction, when you're hurting and you're wondering what to do. If you're hurting, or if you know a friend, and a lot of us have friends that are just, they're struggling. Their marriage is struggling. Finances are struggling. It's an uphill battle. How do you help? Have them call Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. That's what it's there for. That's what it was founded for, is to help individuals, couples, and families achieve that life we always want. And do it through educated advice based in the foundations of what we're talking about right here. So if you have a friend, if you have a loved one, if you have, maybe it's your son's best friend and his dad's using him for a punching bag, refer them on. We're here to help. We do help families heal, individuals heal. Have them call the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. That's 882-6767. If you want to email this program to them, you can go to our website and copy the link to this program and send it in an email and say, you need to listen to this.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to this. Or give them our website at springfieldmfi.com. These are real things you can do. And as a best friend, as someone who, a loved one who cares, the worst thing you can do is nothing. And sometimes feeling helpless, well, this is your tool. This is how you can help.
Yeah. You know, when we know what we can do, when we know what works, when we know the principles that we can live by, when we understand the boundaries that are coming out of the authority for those principles and the boundaries about those principles, and the responsibilities that arise from within those boundaries based upon those principles, then we have a better idea of who we are. That's the reason our children need limits. And our children need to test limits from the time that they are about 2, 1.5 to 2 years old. that they begin to test and to see what you're saying is accurate, what is right, that it is true, okay, whatever boundaries that you're setting, so that they have a better idea about their own powers, about themselves. Now, a man once said, I have eyes to see if there were nothing to see, it'd be crazy. I have ears to hear if there were nothing to hear, it'd be crazy. Have a nose to smell if there's nothing to smell, it'd be crazy. We have senses that take in information. That's what he was talking about. We have senses to say, this is what I'm seeing, hearing, smelling, feeling, whatever it is, and that this is reality. This is what's out here. Okay? But we need to allow our children to have effective boundaries so that they can have use of their powers. Those are called powers. We need use of our powers, of how God has created us, and to know that through the use of those powers that they're better able to effectively have a great life in this world. And as they continue to grow and have developmentally appropriate boundaries, they understand even better that they are a special person. They feel special because they're being loved and cared for and taught real principle. But they're also understanding their limits, what real limits are about. Okay, because a person who doesn't have boundaries, a person who doesn't understand authority, will often try to be everything to everybody. Or they are at a loss to explain themselves to anybody. Or they're at a loss to know how to live their life, and they don't know that they even have a life. But with effective boundaries, people learn who they are. They learn their limits. Someone once wrote, everybody knows you can't be all things to all people. You can't do all things at once. You can't do all things equally well. You can't do all things better than everyone else. Your humanity is showing just like everyone else's. So, you have to find out who you are and be that. You have to decide what comes first and do that. You have to discover your strengths and use them. You have to learn not to compete with others because no one else is in the contest of being you. Then, you will have learned to accept your own uniqueness. You will have learned to set priorities and make decisions. You will have learned to live with your limitations. You will have learned to give yourself the respect that is due. And you'll be a most vital mortal. Dare to believe that you are a wonderful, unique person. That you are a once-in-all-history event. That it's more than a right. It's your duty to be who you are. That's what our children are longing for. Our children are longing to use all of their powers, to discover their limits, to discover what they can do, and discover who they can be. And our children are more than what they do. Our children, because they are a creation of God in His image, they are beings. They are human beings, not human doings. But it's through doing that they understand their being, that we understand what our capabilities are, what we're good at, and who we truly are at this point in time in history. So they need the authority. They need to see appropriate authority in your life as parents, in our life as grandparents. They need to see that being given to them on a developmentally appropriate basis, the authority for their own life, and to express that.
I like that. And don't miss this, the developmentally appropriate basis, or level. And that's important. As our kids grow, that is going to change, and we need to be able to change that with them.
Mm-hmm.
For empowered parenting, to empower your kids, to help them get the most out of their life, join us this Thursday at Panera's on East Sunshine.
It's 2924 East Sunshine.
It's right next to the Price Cutter there. It's 7 o'clock. Come join us. Learn how to empower your kids. Learn the tools of how to do this. And then the following week, we're actually going to have a specialist in children.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's had a lot of experience, whose very first child broke more rules and how to raise a mom than most will ever realize. So join us also next week as well as we continue and get more in depth. But that's Coffee with WK this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at Panera's on East Sunshine. Go to springfieldmfi.com. Click on the homepage there to register or call 882-6767 and talk with Stephanie. This is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Each week, Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is for you and your family and your friends. If we can help, give us a call, 882-6767. We've got WK, Leslie and Marty there can help in any variety of things. We have clients right now from age 5 to age 85. Let us help. It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.